Blog Talk Radio.
I know the Bible is right.
It's The Bible Has the Answers with Pastor Aaron B. Williams, coming to you live every Wednesday at 7 p.m. and Never Had It So Good Gospel 107. Pastor Williams believes if you have a question, the Bible has the answers. Join us Wednesday on the show or at I Am Jesus Holy Ghost Church in Columbia, South Carolina, where service times are Tuesday night prayer at 7 p.m., Sabbath Friday service at 7 p.m., and Saturday Sabbath Day service at 12 noon. Our motto is, it pays to serve God. Hit us up at IamJesusHolyGhostChurch.org. That's Pastor Aaron B. Williams, live on Never Had It So Good Gospel 107. Come on and get the Word of God at its highest level.
Well, this is Pastor Williams again. Glory to God. I greet you in the name. I greet you and salute you in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, our precious Lord. Amen. Glory to God. How was your week this week, saints of God? Glory to God. Knowing that you're going from victory to victory, because with Jesus, you can do all things. Amen. You can do all things through Christ, which strengthens you. Glory to God. And that's just a reality for you who are born again, born of His Spirit. Glory to God. You can do all things. For you, all things are possible. Not for people in the world, but for you who have the Holy Ghost. Amen. Glory to God. He empowers you to be able to do all things. And you are whole in Jesus Christ. Glory to God. He has made you whole. Glory to God. Thinking of a wonderful brother of mine, a wonderful friend, glory to God, Robert Lee, glory to God, who Jesus came to him and let him know, glory to God, in no uncertain terms, but in loving terms, that he is whole, glory to God. And I thank God for that. Isn't that wonderful? You know, remember that story of the 10 lepers that were healed, glory to God, and they were on their way to the priest like Jesus told them to do, and one turned back. He was a Samaritan, and he turned back, and Jesus said, were there not nine, glory to God, but only this one Samaritan come back, glory to God. And Jesus told him that the other ones were healed, but not only was this Samaritan healed, but Jesus told him, you are made whole, amen? So he was made every whit whole, glory to God. When you have a live encounter with Jesus, glory to God, you are made every whit whole. That's just the way he is. He's wonderful, amen? His name is wonderful, glory to God. Everything about him is wonderful, glory to God. Well, saints of God, you know, if you've been with us any length of time, that we're in the book of Proverbs. And I don't know about you, but I've been enjoying these Proverbs. Glory to God. I enjoy them. Some are challenging. Glory to God. All of them take the Spirit of God to understand. Amen. But I love the Word of God, and I really like being delving in it and searching for the gems and the diamonds. Amen. Glory to God. Now we're down to verse 12. We're in the 15th chapter of Proverbs, and we're down to verse 12. Amen. Verse 12. And verse 12 in the King James Version says, A scorner loveth not one that reproveth him, neither will he go unto the wise. He doesn't love anyone that reproves him. Who likes being reproved anyway? Amen. It's hard being reproved. I remember one time I was in a holiness church, and I was very young in the Lord. I was very zealous, but I didn't have a whole lot of wisdom. And I was trying to help the pastor out one time, and she had to tell me something very important that I wasn't understanding because I didn't have spiritual maturity then. And although it stung, I knew she was telling me right. One, I knew she loved me. So because she loved me, I could take correction from her. But not only that, I knew she was right. Amen. And so even though it stung, a lot of times we don't like being corrected. Amen. But here we're talking about a scorner. And a scorner loveth not one. He doesn't love the one that would reprove him. He resents being corrected. And that is because he's already made up his mind. He's already made up his mind and took a position. You know, I was talking to someone very dear to me, and this person is not really, well, they're nominally in Christ. They know about Christ, and they might be saved. I'm not sure of their spiritual condition. But, boy, when the conversation got a little heated, oh, they became a scorner, and they started scorning and everything about the Bible and how Christians are, and they weren't gonna worship no picture, no man up on the wall, and this, that, and the other thing. Amen. And I didn't even say anything to them, because when a person is hardened in what the position that they want to be in, glory to God, nothing at that moment is going to turn them. The Holy Ghost is going to have to work with them. Amen. Because they've already made up, a scorner has already made up their mind. And they're so busy scorning and letting out all the bitterness and anger that, I mean, what can you say? All this bitterness and anger. You'd be up 3 days trying to talk to them and convince them. Amen. You have to wait for a teachable moment. You have to wait for the Holy Ghost to work in their life. Amen. It's like the prodigal son. You know that story in Luke 15 and something like Luke 15:11, when the prodigal son decided he wanted to break all of the restraints of his family and leave. His family, to him, this family had too many rules, too much discipline. And so he decided, well, I want my portion of the goods, and I want to leave. I'm just going to leave. I'm tired of this. I'm going to leave. I'm going to go out and show them how to really live. I know the way to do it. So he asked his father for, you know the story. He asked his father for his portion of the goods that felleth to him. Amen. And his father sold some goods and dispensed to both his sons their inheritance early. Amen. The older son, in effect, told him to keep it for him. But the younger son took the money and went off into a far country. And the Bible says he there wasted his substance in riotous living. Amen. He wouldn't be corrected. Now, the wisdom of the father, when you read that story, and most people center in on the prodigal son, but sometimes do a study on the father and how calm he was. He didn't scream and holler at the boy. He didn't tell the boy he was going to hell. He didn't tell the boy, change your mind or you get nothing. He didn't threaten the boy. He was wise enough to know when a person is set to do something, you can't turn them. You can't turn them. So the wise thing to do is to part on good terms so that when they change their mind, and they will change their mind, because when they go out in the world, what you couldn't teach them, the world will teach them. When they get out there and discover that no one else loves them, that no one's going to pay their bills for them, that no one's going to feed them for nothing, amen? And so he went out and wasted all of his goods. And, you know, there's another part of that story that I just learned this week that the Lord opened up my understanding. Now, I've been studying about the prodigal son for at least 30 years anyway, and I thought I had, knew a little bit about it. But when I looked in a particular book and they were talking about the prodigal son, they brought out something. What it was, I know what it was. It was a different Bible version. No, it was a different, yeah. And the way they rendered the verse, it said in the King James, it said that after he had spent all, a mighty famine arose in that land. this boy wouldn't be corrected. So he ran to a far country, wasted all his goods, and lo and behold, after he spent all, a famine came upon that land. And the Bible says he began to be in want. And for years, for decades, I always wondered, how come after this boy, now that country was there for hundreds of years, how come when that boy spent all of his money, then the famine hit? And then he was reduced to absolute poverty, so much poverty that he ended up in the pig pen. I always wondered about that, but I could never find a commentary or anyone that even begin to explain that. But when I read it in this other version, it said that after he spent all his funds, that a depression came. So immediately that struck home, because I've studied about our Great Depression in 1929. And then the understanding came to me immediately. Ah, that's what that means. Yes, I forgot about the business cycle. The business cycle. The business cycle is you're up for 3 or 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 years, 10 years, and then you go down. And the boy, not understanding that, because daddy took care of all the bills at home, and this boy had all his money, so he was in the up cycle, so he was just blowing the money and didn't realize there would be a down cycle. Amen? And so much I was instructed, so much with that, so much with by that. And that is, glory to God, That's another scripture, another teaching we can use to teach people to put money aside, to save. Amen? Why? Because just as a depression came upon this child and reduced him to absolute poverty, we're to put aside because of business cycles and because things happen. And then I thought about Joseph. The story of Joseph confirmed that. Because what did that teach? There were 7 years of plenty, right? But then the cycle. There were 7 years of down years. So while it was the 7 good years, put by or save. Why? Because you know there's going to be down years. Amen? And so I thought, what a wonderful budgeting explanation that is. Glory to God. And now that doubly confirms that while you're doing good, you put aside. Amen? Why? Because of the business cycle or because something's going to happen. So, you know, Dave Ramsey, what is his very step one? The baby step one is take $1,000 in cash and put it aside, put it in a bank account. Why? Because things happen. And I used to kind of, not 100%, disagree with that because I said, well, you depend on God. You don't have to put it aside. Just depend on God. But when I got the understanding with this story of the prodigal, and I got the understanding with Joseph, I saw from the Bible, yes, it's scriptural to put something aside. And see, a scoffer, glory to God, he doesn't want to be corrected because he's already made up his mind. And you can't say anything to him. And no matter what wisdom and understanding you try to impart to him or give to him, because he's hardened himself against, let's say for this program, let's say he's a scoffer at Christianity. It doesn't say that in this verse, but I'm for the purposes of teaching. Let's say he's a scoffer about Christianity. No matter what you say, he's gonna say something negative about Christianity. Oh, y'all are weak. Oh, y'all think we're just doormats. Oh, y'all want to pray all the time. Y'all think everything is rosy. Everything is Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. And you stand there and you know that all that ain't right. But what can you do? There's so much to teach. How do you teach the whole Bible in one conversation? Amen? And so you end up looking at the person. They won't listen because they're hardened in their position. Wait a minute. I'm up against a commercial. Hold on just a second. I'll be right back. Hold on.
Do you need tile installed in your home or business? Then John Robinson Tile, LLC is the company for you. We have over 60 years of experience installing tile. We do bathrooms, kitchens, and so much more. Give us a call at 803-529-0092. Check out our website, at www.johnrobinsontile2.com. Visit us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram, too. Just search J. Rob Tile or John Robinson Tile. We're licensed and insured and Schluter certified. If you need tile installed, we are your company. We believe in laying hands on everything that we do. That's John Robinson Tile Installation Service for new and old homes. Renovation of kitchens and bathrooms, installs all types. That's John Robinson Tile, the number 2.com.
John Robinson Tile, if you need tile work, get in touch with that brother. I know him. He's for real, and he does excellent work. We were talking about this verse in Proverbs 15:12. A scorner loveth not one that reproveth him. Why does it say loveth not? Love, what is this about him loving someone who's correcting him? Because in Proverbs, it also teaches that's one of the ways it teaches this. It doesn't say it. You have to, when you get into the Proverbs and study it, one of the lessons out of Proverbs is that's one of the ways you can tell a wise man from a fool. In Proverbs, it says, a wise man, when he's corrected, will love you. Why? Because you're correcting him. He wants right information. He wants the truth. He wants to know how to do it right. And he appreciates anybody that will help him along the way. And because you're helping him, telling him the truth, because the truth can be relied upon and the truth brings success, he loves you. But the Bible also says that a foolish man, when you correct him, he gets angry with you. He don't love you. And that's why this verse says that a scorner loveth not one that reproveth him. So what does that tell you? It tells you that you can now, that's an, amongst other ways to know a wise person from a fool is his reaction to correction. His reaction to correction. If he starts scorning and screaming and yelling and cursing you and everything like that, you know you have a fool on your hands. Why? Because if a person won't be corrected, he's going to have a wreck. He's going to have a wreck. He's going to crash into something. Amen? He's going to always go in the wrong direction. If you're trying to go 95 north to New York and you're in South Carolina and you're on 95 south and you refuse to be corrected, you'll never reach your destination. I don't care how fast you drive. I don't care how carefully you drive. If you start out from South Carolina and you go south on 95, I don't care if you won't listen to me. I don't care if you hate me. You will never reach your destination if you're trying to go to New York, because New York is north. But you won't listen. You won't hear. You won't be quiet. You won't consider that you might be wrong. You know it. And can't nobody tell you. And not only can't no one tell you, but if someone tries to tell you the right way, you don't, not only do you not love them, you hate them. Amen? Why? Because they challenge what you've already made up your mind about, that you will not be corrected, that you are right and no one can tell you. And then if someone tries to correct you, you take it personally. They take it personally. Amen? A scorner takes it personally. Instead of being objective about the thing and saying, now let me sit down and see if you're right. I believe you're wrong, but there's a possibility that you could be right, so let me consider. No, they don't give you the benefit of the doubt. They're right. They ain't changing. They scoff at you, and the Bible teaches that that's a way you can know a wise man from a fool. A wise man, the way they react to correction. Amen. Watch the way a person reacts to correction. I so love my son. Sometimes when we talk, at the end of the conversation, 9 times out of 10, he says, thank you so much, Daddy. Thank you. Thank you. So we might have talked about a whole bunch of things, but he's glad to get the truth. He's glad to have someone to tell him the right way. Amen? Isn't that wonderful? When you run into somebody that wants the right way and you tell them, and instead of getting defensive And you can't tell me, and who do you think you are? And since we're talking about it, let's find out about you. How about you? So and so. Man, look, listen, you're going in the wrong direction. You need to go north, and you're going south. Who do you think you are to tell me what to do? You ain't no better. Okay, keep going south then. Keep going. Where you say you're going? I'm going to New York. I know. Well, keep going south on 95. Keep going right on south. When you hit Puerto Rico, let me know. Amen. Drive across the water. Just keep going south. Amen. You don't want to listen? Fine. Amen. People that won't. What is repentance all about? Isn't repentance about, you know, the only people in heaven are people who repented, people who turned from their wicked ways, people who turned from their sins. They recognized when they heard the gospel, I am messed up. I am a sinner just like God says I am. I'm a sinner by nature, let alone my sins. I am a sinner, amen, by nature. I was born in trespasses and sins, amen? Glory to God. And I'm so thankful that I can turn my life over to Jesus, and he can turn my whole life around, and I could be going in the right direction toward God instead of away from God, amen? Glory to God. And that's what repentance is, turning from sin in the opposite direction toward God, amen? And like I said earlier, the only people that's going to be in heaven are people who have repented. They realized they didn't scorn when they heard the gospel. They didn't laugh. Oh, that Jesus stuff, I don't want to hear that. Amen? Okay, you can laugh now, glory to God. But I guarantee you, when you hit the water in South Florida, you're going to realize life is going to let you know that you were wrong. Amen? How about that woman we talked about last week she said she was dying on her bed, and she said, oh, my gosh, she said, I feel the flames. Somebody help me. She said, all my life I preached and told people there was no such thing as hell. I told people, but I feel the flames. I'm going down. Someone help me. Oh, someone help me. Amen. She was a scoffer all her life. And people, see, she had to be a scoffer because she knew about the concept of hell. If she didn't know about it, she couldn't regret. And she wouldn't have said that she told people that there was no such thing as hell. So she had to be a scoffer. Amen? And all her life she was scoffing and laughing. And no one could turn her around. But what happened? Life caught up to her. Amen? And the flame started burning and she started feeling it. Glory to God. She started feeling it. And I guarantee you that God can demonstrate to you a fire where it burns, but it doesn't consume. Amen? God got a fire that burns, but don't consume. You'll be in the lake of fire. You'll be burning for eternity, but you won't be consumed. But you'll, for eternity, feel that heat. You said, is there anything like that? Yeah. You take the sun, the S-U-N, the sun up in the sky. It burns, but it doesn't consume. It's been burning for thousands of years, but it's not consumed. God got a fire that it burns down in the lake of fire, but it doesn't consume you. But you feel that heat. You feel that burning. Amen? Glory to God. A scoffer will not turn. He won't turn. He doesn't love one that tries to help him to turn, to go in the right direction. And neither will he go to the wise, it says here, because the wise might be wise enough to show him that he's wrong, and he doesn't want to be wrong. Amen? He doesn't want to get with the program, so therefore he doesn't want to be corrected and find out what he needs to do because he doesn't want to do it. He's already made up his mind. I don't want that, and I don't want no one proving to me that I'm wrong. I want what I want. I say it's wrong, therefore it's wrong. I'm the God over my own life. Amen? And so not only will he be reproved, but he won't go to the wise. He won't turn. And what happens to a person with an unteachable spirit? A person with an unteachable spirit, is his destiny is ruined. Amen? He won't learn about the right way to eat. He won't learn about exercise. He won't learn about the Bible. He won't learn about the Lord. He won't learn about diligence and the things that he does at work. He won't learn how to order his talking and the way we speak and what to say and what not to say. He won't learn the traditions of life. Amen? Glory to God. And so because he won't learn, his destiny is ruined. His destiny is ruined. And while he's laughing and scoffing, in the end, people are going to be laughing and scoffing at him. When he's in the pig pen, people are going to be laughing and scoffing at him. What did that prodigal son think? When he went out of the house, he was arrogant. He wanted what he called his portion of the goods. He wanted his money. He was going to show everybody how to live. How did he come back? Stinky, dirty, smelling like pigs, willing to accept everything. The laugh was on him. He was going to show everybody, and what did he end up? Life showed him, amen, that it wasn't the way he thought it was should be. It's the way God says it's going to be, amen? Glory to God. And glory to God. The Bible teaches that you must find God, amen? You must find God. Jesus said in John 3:7, you must be born again, amen? And so, glory to God. Life and the Bible teaches, glory to God, that the business of life is finding God. But the devil changed that and changed life into finding wealth. Go after wealth. Use all your strength to go after wealth. Amen? Where the Bible says, no, 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 go after God. Amen? You remember the story of the rich farmer? He was already rich, and then he had a bumper crop. And what did he say? I'm going to tear down my own old barns and put up new barns. Amen? And I'm going to kick back and say, life, take your ease. You have many years of pleasure ahead. Take your ease. And God called him a fool. He was rich, but God called him a fool. Why? Amen? Why? Because he scoffed at the things of God, but was only interested in riches. Amen? Had all that money and had God. When God calls you a fool, you're a fool. Amen? Glory to God. The Bible says here, a scoffer not loveth not one that reproveth him. Glory to God. God reproved this rich farmer. Amen? Do you think that farmer enjoyed being reproved and finding out that his whole life was a waste when he thought he had reached the pinnacle of life? He could kick back and take it easy the rest of his life. He found out he was a fool, amen? He found out that he failed at the business of life, glory to God. If you're born again, you succeeded at the business of life. Don't listen to the world that tells you that life consists of the abundance of things that you possess, that you have to have a house, and you have to have a car, you have to have riches, and you have to have this, and you have to be a millionaire. Now, if you got those things and got God, you got icing on the cake, amen? You got the icing on the cake. But real success is having the Holy Ghost, amen, is being filled with the Spirit of God, is being saved and sanctified and filled with the Spirit of God. Don't be fooled by riches. Now, there's nothing wrong with riches, and I don't preach against riches, amen. But what I say is have riches and have God. The Bible says you can't serve God and mammon, and the Bible is right, amen. So don't serve mammon. Take mammon and get yourself a steward, amen? Get yourself a good mutual fund. Give it to them and tell them, send me a check. I need income every month. Send me a check every month. I don't want to be bothered. You invest it. You figure out how to make income for me, amen? Because I got to serve God. I can't serve God and mammon. But the Bible doesn't say you can't have mammon. It just says you can't serve both, amen? You can have all the mammon you want, glory to God. Jesus had a treasurer, amen? Glory to God. Just don't serve it, amen? Just don't forget God, amen? A scoffer don't like being corrected, glory to God. Glory to God. God bless you. This has been The Bible as the Answers, Pastor Williams. See you next week, The Bible as the Answers. Bye-bye.
Seven. I know the Bible is right.
It's The Bible Has the Answers with Pastor Aaron B. Williams, coming to you live every Wednesday at 7 p.m. and Never Had It So Good Gospel 107. Pastor Williams believes if you have a question, the Bible has the answers. Join us Wednesday on the show or at I Am Jesus Holy Ghost Church in Columbia, South Carolina, where service times are Tuesday night prayer at 7 p.m., Sabbath Friday service at 7 p.m., and Saturday Sabbath Day service at 12 noon. Our motto is, it pays to serve God. Hit us up at IamJesusHolyGhostChurch.org. That's Pastor Aaron B. Williams, live on Never Had It So Good Gospel 107. Come on and get the Word of God at its highest level.